ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Hello and welcome to ShareCare Radio. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Dr. Daria. I'm going to dive into our health news of the week, but just a reminder, if you miss any of our segments today, you can download them on demand at Radio MD, or you can get them, download the iTunes podcast for free. So our first news segment, we've heard a lot about nuts and peanut butter and allergies in children that seem to be on the rise. So not surprising, more research on this. And this was a study that confirms a link between peanuts and nut intake. And this one was actually correlating it to lower mortality rates. Not just talking about allergies so much, but overall mortality rates. They didn't find a protective effect of peanut butter, but they did for peanuts and nut intake. So these men and women who ate at least 10 grams of nuts or peanuts per day, they were found to have a lower risk of dying from several major causes of death than people who don't consume nuts or peanuts. Now, that association was strongest for breathing or respiratory diseases, neurodegenerative diseases, and diabetes, followed by cancer and cardiovascular disease. Now, this is a really long-running study since 1986, including over 120,000 people who are Dutch, ages 55 to 69, and men and women. So again, what's a lesson takeaway? We are hearing more and more about the impact of healthy fats, and in this case, peanuts and tree nuts may contain some of those monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fatty acids. They also have fiber, vitamins, and antioxidants that could help our health and may even lower death rates. On to our next study is really relevant for the summer. It is very hot here in Atlanta. And this study was about hydration in children. And they found that more than half of all children and adolescents in the U.S. are not getting enough hydration, just water. And that can have a significant effect on their physical health and their cognitive and emotional functioning, according to a new study from the CDC. So the study looked at data from 2009 to 2012 on more than 4,000 children and adolescents ages 16 to 19. They also found gender gaps in hydration status and that boys were at higher risk of being dehydrated than girls. Now, nearly a quarter of the children and adolescents in the study reported that they drank no plain water at all. Now, let's remember, drinking enough water is essential for our body processes, it's our circulation, our metabolism, regulating our temperature and waste removal. And dehydration causes a lot of issues, from headaches to irritability to poor even physical performance and reduced cognitive functioning. So the key takeaway, our kids of the world are not drinking enough water. Often they're drinking juices and soda, and it's even more important for parents and any adults with children to make sure that they're getting more and more water to, you know, keep them hydrated, help them do better in activities, and better at school. Now, another study for anyone who's taking care of kids and adolescents, and this is about the newest HPV vaccine, Gardasil 9. It found that it safely and effectively prevents at least four types of cancers in preteens and teens, including cervical, vulvar, and vaginal. These are bad cancers, and this vaccine actually protects against it. The researchers looked at 3,000 boys and girls ages 9 to 15 for the three-dose vaccine and looked and analyzed them a month after the third dose and found that 99% of the participants had significant antibody levels of all 9 strains, including the vaccine. 2.5 years later, the antibody levels of the participants were still high. That means they were still immune to those viruses. Now, scientists say the risks of the vaccine are minimal. Minor reactions include pain, redness, some swelling at the site of injection, and even a very, very few have had some fainting afterwards, but they say that just sitting or lying still for about 15 minutes after the vaccination and anybody who's likely to faint can just prevent that. So key takeaway is that these cancers are preventable and that we now have vaccines that can do so. Especially important, anyone who has children under the age of 13 to talk to their doctor about getting these vaccines. Okay, now also for kids and the adults who have our kids at heart, this is about our Lucky Charms. Anybody who is of any age, I'm sure, has had these at one point in time in their life. And General Mills announced this week that it's going to phase out artificial flavors and colors from all cereals. So by 2017, synthetic dyes and flavors will be replaced with extracts from fruits, vegetables, and spices. Now, they're really acting on consumer demand for natural products, and apparently are even going to be depicting their boxes with bowls next to fruit and vegetables and marketing to children still with those cartoon characters. A lot of parents have been sharing concerns over these synthetic dyes, and some studies have questioned that they may be associated with children hyperactivity, although that's still up for debate and more research. So key takeaway is we're getting more and more research that these pure sugar cereals are proven to dispose our children to obesity, diabetes, and just in general, not great for their health, as are a lot of these additives. So it's good to know that the companies, the food manufacturing companies, are paying attention to it as well. But onus is still on parents and anybody taking care of kids to know that kids will always probably want to reach for these sugary cereals and to give them a lot of healthy alternatives. So okay, this is a big piece of news that I don't feel has gotten as much news as we may have expected. And the Dietary Guidelines for Americans is going to have some big changes. For one, they're eliminating dietary cholesterol as a nutrient of concern, and they're also removing the upper limit of total fat consumption. So anybody older than 25 will remember that in the 80s and 90s, fat was really demonized, and it was replaced with a lot of potentially higher calorie, higher sugar, carby foods that were low fat or no fat. But we've seen over the past 20 to 30 years that really, as they've done that, that still did not improve health, and obesity levels and diabetes levels are still on the rise. So the scientists and authors looked at this to see what should we be doing to optimize our guidelines. And they noted that focusing on optimizing your type of fat was more important than just limiting fat overall for obesity prevention and overall health. They also noted that over the past 20 to 30 years, having these refined grains and having more and more of those in high sugar have really worsened our health overall. So they found that reductions to our total fat intake influenced us to reduce fats that are good too. So people were reducing the fats in fish and nuts and avocado, things that we really shouldn't be avoiding. So what's a key takeaway? It's not a free ride for all things fat. It's still important to stick to healthy fats and save those saturated fats every once in a while. Still very important to avoid trans fats when you can. But we're no longer getting a free ride in low fat and fat free foods. And it's really important to pay attention to those foods with good fat. Again, those are your nuts, your avocado, your fish. Those are going to be best for health and should not necessarily be limited. Another topic on weight loss, but a little bit different. And that was that a recent study found that in women who are vitamin D deficient, weight loss combined with vitamin D supplements had a greater effect on reducing chronic inflammation than just weight loss alone. Now remember, chronic inflammation can contribute to development of several diseases, including some cancers. So the study included 218 healthy but overweight older women with insufficient levels of vitamin D. They participated in a 12-month diet and exercise program. Half of them received a daily dose of vitamin D for the whole year, and the other half just received placebo. They then measured their biomarkers of inflammation at the beginning and at the end. And at the end of the study, all the women experienced reduced levels of inflammation. However, those who took vitamin D and lost 5 to 10% of their baseline weight experienced the biggest decline in their inflammation levels, suggesting that vitamin D can enhance the influence of weight loss of inflammation on inflammation. Now, remember, for everybody, the key takeaway here is all the women in this study did have low vitamin D levels, lower than what we recommend. So we don't know what would happen if you have normal vitamin D levels, but it's important to talk to your doctor, get them checked, and see if a supplement may be something to benefit you. Our next study was on memory failure. And these results were from a new study that suggested that early symptoms of Alzheimer's appear up to 18 years before the disease is officially diagnosed. Now, the researchers gave 2,000 people with an average age of 73 a test of memory and thinking skills every 3 years for 18 years. None were diagnosed with Alzheimer's before the study. The study found that participants who scored lowest on memory and thinking tests during the first year of the study were 10 times more likely to develop the disease. The key takeaway here is that the results show that Alzheimer's begins to have an impact on our thinking abilities a lot earlier than we previously believed, and definitely a lot earlier than is diagnosed. It also said the mental deterioration triggered by the disease appears to develop decades before that diagnosis, and important for both prevention, earlier recognition, and earlier interventions. There you have it, the top health news that you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on Twitter at my handle at Dr. Daria. You're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening in and stay well.